A short prayer. Lord Jesus, help us by your Spirit to understand what you are saying to us this morning, and may it be worked out in our lives later on. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, Jesus used to use parables to teach about the kingdom of heaven. Not all parables can be broken down where each bit, each object represents people or groups of people. In our reading this morning, we have simple parables with a straightforward story to tell. Now, parables are stories that have familiar backgrounds to the listeners, so they're not out of order or alien to their world. And Jesus used parables from what people knew in their world around them. They will recognize the situations as normal. The hidden treasure parable. Now, if we have possessions of worth, we could hire a safe deposit box in a bank to keep them safe, or have a wall safe in our home, perhaps. But Israel was a land that was used as a corridor by warring fractured countries in attacking each other, so that people buried their possessions of worth in the ground so they could return to them when the marauding armies had passed by. In these days, we would think of finding treasure of people using metal detectors, like those who found the Staffordshire hoard. And in this country, if you find buried treasure, it belongs to the crown. You have to declare it, and you may receive a share of the reward if it is valuable. It may be returned to you if there's no interest in it and no museum wants it. At the time of Jesus, if treasure is found on the land and lifted out, it belongs to the landowner. But in the parable, the person uncovers it and rehides it, so he doesn't need to tell the owner. He then goes on to sell everything he has and to buy the land. Then the pearl of great worth parable. Did you collect things when you were younger? Myself, I collected stamps, train numbers. Did you use the I Spy books? People have all sorts of things as collectibles: coins, autographs, minerals, figurines, Pokemon cards, cars. Have you ever watched the TV program Bangers and Cash, where old cars have been found in barns and sold at auction? Later on in the program, you usually see the buyer has other old cars as well that they have restored to full working condition. Now, pearls were seen as precious and having purity, beauty, and elegance. And in this parable, we have a merchant of pearls buying and selling them. Today, we have cultured pearls. But pearls were rare in ancient times, similar to precious stones, and they were highly valued. Wealthy people would have them adorning their clothes to show off their wealth and status. A source of the pearls would be the Red Seashore. In the parable, the person was spending his life searching for pearls. Yet when he finds a pearl of great value, he sells all that he has and buys it. Both parables were referred by Jesus as being taken to the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven. It's the reign of the King of heaven, Jesus. Now, this is a priceless treasure. And in God's kingdom, the treasure found is better than found anywhere else on earth. It may be found in a moment, a chance meeting, a word that strikes the chord, as the person who accidentally finds a treasure buried in a field, or after a long search, finding a knowledge of the truth that is in Jesus. It is of such worth that it takes on the whole of our lives. In 1957, Jim Elliot was an American Christian missionary and one of five people killed in an attempt to evangelize the Ndori people of Ecuador. Thank you. He declared, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." New life in God's kingdom is much more than going to heaven when we die. Kingdom life is here and now. It's knowing the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's listening to God's voice. It's having his peace, his joy, his love, and his power. It's the best life possible. In John 10, verse 10, Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Have you discovered the treasure of God's word? A few examples of the pearls that we can find. In Lamentations, the writer laments the destruction of Jerusalem by the king of Babylon, and so acknowledges God's judgment on the sins of the people. In all this lamentation, there is a pearl. If depressed, we can recall God's loving kindness, compassion, and faithfulness, and have hope. In Lamentations 3, verse 21 to 23, it says, "Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of God's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." And why should we be fearful? The Spirit gives us power, love, and a sound mind. In Timothy 2, chapter 1, verse 7, "For the Spirit God gives us doesn't make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." And if we're feeling weak, surely the Lord is the strength of our life. In Psalm 27, verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" And feeling alone, Jesus says he's always with us. Matthew 28, verse 20, "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Scripture declares who we are in Jesus. In 1 Peter 2, verse 9, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." Surely we see God's kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, full of peace, love, forgiveness, freedom, and joy, and want that more than anything else. Isn't this the one thing of supreme value for which any sacrifice is worthwhile? Amen.